we would do an evaluation of those kinds of people, and if they can't afford it, then we would give them the because a lot of people that can't afford it, I'm sure a lot of those persons are people who would have made a contribution to this country, and the need to get medical attention if the sword is there. So you would do an assessment of these people, and if they can't afford it, then you give them a pass.
That's called a means test, right?
Right, a means test. And if they can't afford it, then those persons would go and get what the necessary treatment, and I could work with that. But I feel, David, and it's fine. Tell you the casualty, you should start with $20. Anything after that is $5 fees and $10 fees. Like, for example, if you got to go and get X-ray, you pay $5 per X-ray. If you get admitted to the ward, you pay $10 a day. That would include 3 meals and toilet paper and that kind of thing. If you got to get a cast put on your foot.
I want you to realize something, though. In all of this, we pay taxes, you know.
Yes, I agree. I know that.
I also want you to know that the government has been talking about a new health insurance scheme as well, which would run along the lines of NIS, that kind of approach.
I know.
I mean, all of that is, apart from the taxes that we pay right now, they are contemplating an additional imposition with the whole objective of trying to make healthcare readily available to people in a way that will avoid having to go through means testing and that sort of thing.
But Mr. Ellis, I understand what you're saying, and I agree with that. But in the meantime, what do you do? Let you just read a note that comes from your wherever it came from, that says that your hospital don't have an MRI machine. I had to get an MRI one time. It has to do with my eyes and my brain. And I had to pay $3,200 at a place in Belleville. Only to find out that everything was out in my eye and my brain. And I was running way that age. But then I was told by somebody close to the system that was wrong, real wrong. And I hope that people will stop abusing the hospital. They're going to get medication, they go and get this, they go and get that, ain't going to pay a cent. And if, like, say, for example, I go to the phlebotomy department every 3 months, they give blood. And then I got to go to the anticoagulation clinic. I go and give blood, and every time I give blood, they go using syringes, they're using all kinds of things. I ain't got to pay a cent for. You can tell me when they go to give blood, I shouldn't be paying at least $2.50 for the syringe that they use for me to draw blood.
Okay, we're going to go. I believe when we come back, we are likely to get a comment here from the Queen Elizabeth Hospital. They're trying to get through to us. This is Down to Brass Tacks. I think we have somebody on the line from the Queen Elizabeth Hospital. Can the person identify themselves? Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon. This is Dr. Shaney Williams from the DMS office.
Yes, ma'am. Hi. Now, there have been some calls here, concerns about MRI investigations. I'm told that there is no MRI machine at the Queen Elizabeth Hospital. One person has said that to me, but the complaints stem from the fact that there are some people who say basically they need this kind of investigation and they're not getting it from the QEH. What exactly is the situation, Dr. Williams?
Yes, it's correct that the Queen Elizabeth Hospital does not have on its site a MRI machine, magnetic resonance imaging machine. We try to assist with the service because as we've modernized our medical care, from time to time, clinicians may require a MRI study to get more information on behalf of the patient. So what we have done is to outsource that particular investigation. So that will come through the office of the DMS, and along with social services, we will access the private sector. There are two MRI machines on island, and we have sent and referred our patients to get MRIs there.
You said DMS, that's Director of Medical Services?
The Director of Medical Services, correct.
Okay, give us some sense of the trend that we are seeing in Barbados that requires these types of investigations. What is that trend like?
Well, we offer radiology services at the hospital, as you know, and we are requiring, in lieu of operative intervention, trying to just to look around and see what's wrong with the patient, getting more non-invasive information so that we can best tailor their care. So over time, as in over several years, MRI has been proven to be the study of choice for some conditions, whether it be neurological, neurosurgical, or gynecological, just a few examples. We have two CAT scan machines in the department, in the radiology, in the Queen Elizabeth Hospital, one in main radiology and one in radiotherapy, ultrasound machines and other investigations. Now, you could imagine the MRI machine is a fairly large piece of equipment, and the service is $1 million service. So it does require the space to house an MRI machine, the radiologists that can read and interpret the investigations, and the radiographers to conduct the study. So we would have to now commission an entire service for which we hadn't had before. So what we have been doing until we can accommodate that particular service is to outsource to the two MRI facilities on island.
Is there any plan that you know of to have an MRI machine within the QEH?
This is something that we've been discussing over the years. We recognize that it would be a useful service, but it cannot be accommodated at this time. And when I say at this time, there at several occasions we've recognized that we couldn't accommodate it because we do not have the supporting structures to facilitate that particular activity at this time.
And
but the patients that we recognize have a need, once highlighted by the consultant managing the patient, they're accommodated in the private sector.
Essentially, therefore, I gather from you that there has been an increase in the use of this particular service in the country, based upon what you said just now.
Yeah.
And therefore, the question is, with that increased demand, what happens to people who are unable to pay? You say, yes, the consultant would be able to identify a need, but you get the impression from what I'm seeing from people here is that some people they're waiting quite long, and essentially people appear to be falling through the cracks as a result of this existing system. How do you respond to that?
The system that exists is no cost directly to the patient. The QEH absorbs the cost, and we pay the private sector directly once there is a recommendation by the consultant that the study is needed. There are other alternatives for some cases, so we do have to analyze the particular individual's circumstance to determine whether other investigations may be appropriate at the time. We are trying to battle our waiting list for CAT scans, which are several months, as well as ultrasound. So to add an additional service to the hospital at this time, we do not have the human resources or the other supporting resources to accommodate it. We recognize that that is a concern for the public of Barbados. I've heard some of the calls coming in this morning. But when we do have the patients who need it, we're trying to accommodate them in the private sector, who also have a relative waiting list because of the demand, I agree.
So as it relates to the cost to government, I mean, how has this increased over time? It must be a significant amount of money if the government is paying for the private sector for this service.
Well, I can't give you the analysis because it hasn't formally been done, but the relatively low volume that we are referring as it relates to the cost, the upfront cost of the service, I don't think we've reached the level where we could say that we could as well have paid for the machine to be housed here, because it's not just a machine, it's the entire service. We would now have to erect a space, get the machine, get additional human resources, radiologists and radiographers, and the supporting personnel to run that service, which is very costly.
I am told...
Millions of dollars.
I am told that this idea of having a bunker-type room for an MRI machine had been discussed a long time ago. that I think that approval, they'd reached the point where they were going to purchase an MRI, and the construction of a bunker type room in which to house it had been obtained. But then I'm told that it was put on hold. I mean, this is a matter that in a modern hospital, one would have anticipated that greater priority would have been given to something like this because of the extent to which, according to what you've told us, it is relied upon to investigate the challenges that people may be facing. So one can only hope that the Queen Elizabeth Hospital, in all the planning and all the discussion that has been taking place about upgrading the Queen Elizabeth Hospital, that this would be given greater priority. But the other question is this, though. You say there are two people operating in the private sector who have this particular facility. Now, based upon the trend that you are seeing, to what extent do you believe there is a need for us to have more of these machines available in the country? Or is this adequate in your judgment?
These types of investigation pieces of equipment are usually recommended per population size, and we are blessed to have two machines for our population. Most places only have one per 250,000-300,000 persons. So we have two on island, and to have a third, which would be at a which would be government sponsored, would be ideal. But at this time, as you mentioned before, it has been a discussion over the last few years for us to consider investing in that particular machine, but it is more than just the machine. As I said several times, we really have to get the personnel to be able to man the machine, which we don't have at this time.
That personnel is in short supply?
In short supply in terms of numbers, yes.
But, I mean, worldwide they're in short supply as well?
Radiographers are in short supply worldwide, yes.
But this would also apply to the private sector. I mean, they too would have to grapple with that shortage. So I suppose in the same way that they're able to find radiographers to do the work, if the government and the Queen Elizabeth Hospital went in that direction, they would have to do likewise. Agree? Okay. So this apart, I mean, we've had this whole situation with COVID putting pressure on the services of the QEH. We've had a buildup of various other types of cases. How is the hospital grappling with that side of the problem? Because it is not just the MRI issue that people are complaining about, but, you know, this post-COVID world is a different world. Share with us what's happening there.
You can repeat the first part of your question.
This has to do with the buildup of other case, non-COVID issues. You remember in the early stages, you had to put a lot of put some things on hold, and we were told by the hospital at the time that the implication of that would be that, you know, there would be some challenges, some backlogs. How have you been dealing with that?
Okay, yeah, sorry. So we are trying to re-engineer our services to manage a new norm at the Queen Elizabeth Hospital. We still have the burden of the chronic non-communicable diseases, which affect all of our services, the medical and non-medical services. The medical, which is internal medicine and their supporting specialties, as well as the surgical services. So what has happened post the lockdown, and as I said before, trying to create a new norm, is us trying to organize that we will continue to see the population of Barbados in our most efficient way without having overcrowding, and trying to make sure that we also play catch up because we were on emergencies only and we had scaled down in our outpatient services during the last few months. So we're trying to also make sure that the outpatient services are still being maintained and the inpatient services are being seen in an efficient manner. There may come a time that the emergency department may have to go back on two floors so that we can decrease crowding within our emergency department and also allow to separate persons who we may think they may need testing to confirm whether or not they have an infectious illness versus the other patient population that we may see.
Okay, well, if you can stay with me for a few minutes, and let me see if there are any other questions that members of the public have that you may be able to answer. This is Dr. Brastax, and Dr. Shaney Williams with the QEH is with us at the moment. Hello? Your thoughts, caller, on what you've heard so far? I mean, that it is confirmed that the Queen Elizabeth Hospital does not have an MRI machine, and it's costly, and the Queen Elizabeth Hospital says it's not only costly, but it's difficult to find. They will have to find personnel to operate it as well. Welcome to the program.
Good afternoon, Mr. Alex.
Yes, you're on the air.
I'm calling about something totally different.
What are you calling about?
I'm calling about this increase in thermal scanning in Barbados, seemingly to detect COVID.
In thermal scanning?
Yes, you know the little guns that people are pushing in your face wherever you're going out to?
Yes.
Right. I am skeptical of those.
Why?
So I've gone looking. I have found a study done in Taiwan when they had the SARS avian flu pandemic, and that study concluded that you better get a temperature on your wrist than on your forehead. I've also looked at the World Health Organization's website. They have a section called Advice to the Public. When you click on that, you will find another section that says COVID myths. Then you scan that section and you look for thermal scanners. This notice was posted on the 27th of May this year. And the World Health Organization says thermal scanning does not detect COVID. So the exercise that we are engaging in Barbados with scanning people's foreheads is a waste of time. It cannot detect if somebody has COVID.
Can it detect whether you have a temperature?
But most persons that have COVID don't display with a temperature. The temperature comes down, you're either bedridden or in hospital. Most persons who have COVID and are shedding it don't have a temperature.
Well, I have a doctor online, so let the doctor respond to you.
It does not make sense.
Pardon?
I said the World Health Organization says thermal scanning does not detect COVID. So why are we increasingly putting these in people's hands?
Is it your assessment that the thermal scanning is to detect COVID? Or to detect a temperature.
So what temperature for everybody have a temperature who's alive? Unless you're dead, you won't have a
temperature. No, a high temperature. A higher than normal temperature. That's what it's supposed to do.
People who have COVID, from what I've read online, do not have no higher than normal temperature.
Okay, let the doctor weigh in on this particular issue. Dr. Williams, you heard what this lady has said?
Yes, please. So the introduction or the recommendation to use the thermal scanning at points of entry is just one of the several measures put in place to help screen our population. It is not a very sensitive or specific test, but it is used to help determine persons at a higher risk or lower risk for being infectious. It is true that the thermal scans, the handheld thermal scans, are there to detect temperatures. It is true that only about 40% of the population with COVID may present with a temperature or elevated temperature. But it is just a screening tool. We are expected to do all the other recommended public health measures. Wash your hand sanitize, wear a mask, and be physically distant from persons that are not part of your household. So it is just one of the tools. It is not. No one said it is 100% proof or foolproof that persons who may be infectious may not have a temperature and allowed to enter an establishment. It's just one of the tools in the arsenal to help prevent or decrease your risk of being exposed.
And the caller did raise the question of whether you are tested on your forehead or on your wrist.
Right. So we recommend that you read the manufacturer's recommendation, because each brand would have a recommendation about how best to get an accurate temperature. Remember that some of those studies are done in temperate places where persons are heavily clad with several layers of clothing, so they may give a false surface temperature. So the forehead was one of the things that was studied. There are several studies that compare reading temperatures from different parts of your body, and the closest equivalent is the forehead versus the wrist. But it all depends on what the manufacturer for the thermoscans would recommend.
Okay, let's take another call. Hello. This is Dr. Brastacks. Hello.
Hello.
You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, good afternoon.
And to the good doctor.
Yes.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead.
I have a question. Dr. Williams?
Yes.
Yes, please.
Oh, okay, here she is. Dr. Williams, who is Louise Bob?
Miss Louise Bob is our Director of Support Services.
And what is her, I have to ask you because she's not on the line, what is her responsibility? What is she supposed to be overseeing?
She is the Director of all support services for the hospital. So it includes, and it's a very extensive list, it includes the orderly services, pharmacy services, kitchen services, social services, etc., medical records, all support services.
Why is that important, sir?
So the situation with not having an MRI machine or wing, this would also come under her heading? I'm just asking.
No, that is a decision for the board, Queen Elizabeth Hospital Board.
That's a smart question. Thank you. Smart response. Thank you very much.
All right. Let's take another call. Down to Brass Tacks. Hello. I suppose, Dr. Williams, I suppose a relevant question to you is, given the situation that you've outlined to us, how comfortable are you with the existing situation when it comes to having farmed out the MRI service?
What I'm going to do is to just confirm the cost effectiveness of what we're currently doing. But I'm quite comfortable to know that we're trying our best not to disadvantage the public of Barbados. And if the clinician thinks that of all the studies that we have available within the QEH, the MRI would be most advantageous to the patient, we can access it in Barbados.
What about this question of medical scheme? I was told earlier that some people would have to go through some medical scheme to get assistance. And the question is, how quickly can people actually access the system that way?
The medical aid scheme is a fund that is dedicated to patients who need to access services not available at Queen Elizabeth Hospital, whether it is in country or out of country, and we will access that fund, complements the government of Barbados. So things like an MRI plus other services which we would normally or we have previously tried to access out of country, a lot of services are now available in Barbados. So we would go through the medical aid scheme using the assistance of social services to facilitate the payment for the third parties providing the health care.
So
it can be speedy depending on the urgency of the case. So we have had emergency cases that had to be referred to a third party, which is done in short order to accommodate the needs of the patient.
What kind of costs involved in getting an MRI if you had to go and get one at the private level?
Say again?
What's the kind of cost involved to get an MRI?
It depends on the area being studied. So it can, I'm saying off the top of my head because I don't work in those facilities, but as cheap as $1,500 if you consider that cheap.
$1,500
Barbados dollars to several thousand depending on the area or numbers of parts of the body being investigated.
Several thousand.
Yes.
Wow. Thank you very much, Dr. Williams, for coming online and clarifying this matter for us. we may not necessarily like the information that we've been given, but that's where we are. Thank you very much. This is Down to Brass Tacks. The news is next. This is Down to Brass Tacks, going until 2 o'clock. This person says, I am absolutely floored that the QEH doesn't and has never had an MRI machine. There is no excuse for it, says the writer. Both governments have to take responsibility for such. This is really jaw-dropping, says this particular writer. What do you think? This is an open forum, not dedicated exclusively to any one topic today, but of course this matter of the MRI came up, coming out of some calls and messages that we've had, and now we've had some clarification on where Barbados is in this regard. Down to Brass Tacks. Hello?
Hello, David.
Yes.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I'm glad this topic really come up today. And it should shed a light, some light on what really is happening in this country. And I ain't talking about only today. I'm talking about for the last 20 years. Because it seemed to me that we are paying people a lot of money monthly to handle our affairs, especially when it comes to health care. Health and education are supposed to be the two main things that any country really wants for the citizens. And when I heard the doctor today, I mean, she really didn't shed much light on it at all, because I am saying this. If you know that this machine is very important to a country like Barbados, but two private people could have theirs, what should be stopping and preventing the Barbados government from providing one for the masses of poor people in this country? But, you know, I had to check back a few years ago to realize that a woman could not get an ambulance because they didn't have a gurney. They didn't have the trolley to put her on. Then something break down, some table break down in the surgery. And a lot of problems and a lot of him and all. And we are paying these politicians, not only the politicians are giving contracts to big people in this country who are not really contributing to the welfare of we, the most vulnerable people. Now, you can tell me that 15, 20 years down the road, if so much, that this machine, this MR machine, would be so beneficial to us. And you could extend it. Right now, you're extending the hospital. Could you not think that you should put things in place, at least the structure in place, so when you collect the money or got the money, that you could buy this machine? What type of foolish excuses these people just be giving you? But as I said, I gone back a few years ago. You short of toilet paper. You short of soaps. You short of gloves. So if you short of these things, I really didn't see how you're going to buy MIR machine. It tells you that for all these years, both parties have mismanaged the health service in Barbados. And you know, when these people take sick, they could fly to New York or Miami very easy, so they could pay for some all the treatment in the world. But we, the poor people in this country, have to die. A gentleman called earlier today and he said something that it took me about 20 years. But his mother, and we'll bring she here for, she's 98 years old, we'll bring she here for her. But David, let me tell you, that is some of the worst comments you could ever make to a human being. And I had that personal experience 20 years ago, when one doctor, after it was realized that my mother's first foot had, one of the feet had to get cut off, my mother went to the hospital for a stroke and died without feet. And the comment of this doctor, when I was feeding my mother the midday, she asked me for my sister. I said, my sister can't take on this. She can't come now. And I generally, the boys come at 12 and 4. But she can't take on it. You know what she told me? Your sister have no right taking it on. You sister got to realize your mother lived her life already. I said to her, when my mother came in here the 16th of September, you know how long she got to live? Listen to her response. I got to protect the nurses, you know. I said, what? But that caused a friction. It was highlighted in papers. And I had to, the police had to take me to see my mother, that I want to see my mother, because nobody can take the stupidness from these people. How you going to tell me that in a day like today, that the Barbados government cannot afford a machine? How you going to tell me this, David? How can people accept these things? This is what we really pay these people, free university education, to come to cram these things down people's throat. You mean there's no progressive thinkers in Barbados after spending so much money on these people? Look, we just had some flooding here. We got flooding. You know, last year around Christmas, I was walking down the road there from Tyro Court. And then I look in the drains full of stuff. You got any right to wait till the rain come to clean these culverts and things? And then you got to spend a lot more money into getting it clean. And you know, when rain falling, a lot of workers really can't work the way they wanted to work. What really is going on in this country? How are we worshiping these people and voting for these people up and down and choosing one party next, when the same thing that is occurring, that is affecting poor people, we are still suffering daily because of it?
All right, sir. Sorry about that. This person wants to know, what is the higher priority, becoming a republic or having an MRI machine? That's one question there. Then this person says the St. Giles Primary School was under repairs and due to open today, October 12th, for face-to-face classes. So it's past midday now, and the Ministry of Education hasn't updated the parents about the matter. Are the repairs finished? And will the school be granted a full industrial cleaning before the children enter again? Common courtesy should be given to the teachers and parents concerning the matter, says the writer. Down to brass tacks. Hello? You're on the air?
Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon.
Yes. I would like to know how much the Barbados government is paying to keep people, non-nationals, in isolation and quarantine. I saw in the paper this morning, St. Lucia is being those people charged with the quarantine and isolation. I mean, when you have people come in every day people are coming, and they are using nurses, they have to eat, they have to do some other sort of thing. And the taxpayers of Barbados have to pay for that. I want to know if the government is looking into it to make non-nationals pay for the quarantine and the isolation.
Well, that's a question for the government to respond to. Down to brass tacks. It's 12:53. Welcome to the program.
Hi, good afternoon, Mr. Ellis. How are you?
I am okay, and you?
I'm good, too. I'm kind of upbeat. So, Mr. Ellis, I've got a couple of comments in the paper that I wanted to discuss with you. But a call a little earlier there was telling you that the hospital should charge user fees, right? And you did remind him that we just pay taxes. And that is exactly what taxes is, Mr. Ellis, user fees. We just pay taxes because we could use the facilities. And the first thing that this government do after giving a 5% increase was to take out one for health. So that's an extra additional user fee that was taken out. So the idea of user fees, it is already paid in taxes. I had made a suggestion some time ago that accident victims should be charged against their insurance. Because if they went to private, the insurance were going to cover it. And because they come to the QEH, the insurance should still be covering it. And that would be for accidents that would be covered by insurance. So I am supporting the more user fees. Right now, we all along the Sucre, we the most heavy tax in the Caribbean. That's not the whole world. And we get a lot, a lot from this new government, and you know all about it. So take user fees off the table. Now, Mr. Ellis, I see somewhere there that they're setting up some program, 500 people, and they're giving them a stipend of $400. You aware of that?
What's your concern about it?
You either aware or you're unaware. You aware, Mr. Ellis?
Yeah, I'm aware that the government has not only one such program, but they have outlined a pretty comprehensive approach aimed at trying to shore up the tourism sector in particular and other sectors in that kind of way.
Well, thank God, Mr. Ellis, and don't run from your grave. You know, Mr. Hiding from it, if you're aware of it, but yes, you're aware of it.
So Mr. what's Ellis, the issue?
You aware of how many people in Barbados do not work for $200 a week? It would benefit those people to give up their jobs and go and get a $400 stipend, Mr. Ellis. We're getting everything all wrong all of a sudden.
What would be your recommendation, therefore? How would you address the current situation where people cannot work because the tourism sector is not, thriving? What would you suggest instead?
Mr. Ellis, a stipend is designed to be less than a salary. So if people are working for $200 and you are coming to offer a stipend of four, then do you know that $200 is not a good minimum wage?
All right, just walk with me for a few seconds here.
Yeah.
Now, you know how much money these people were working for before? Were they working for the $200? You have decided to use as your gauge those people who work for $200. But you have to take into consideration what these people who are getting the $400 stipend were working for before. What about the possibility that they were working for far more than that? And therefore, this is to help cushion the impact of their situation.
Mr. Ellis, well, if they were getting more than that,
mm-hmm.
it means that they were contributing to unemployment, contributing to severance, contributing to all of these things.
And?
Then let them get it. Let them get it.
Understand what you're telling me, Mr. Ellis. Let them get what?
Unemployment and severance. All of this is to try to avoid them getting what they're entitled to, Mr. Ellis.
Well, you know, what's fascinating about it is that this is the first time I have heard you complain about people getting money from government. I mean,
complaint about people getting money from government?
Yeah, that they get too much money.
No, Mr. Ellis.
This is essentially what you're saying.
No. You mean this type of money? This type of money you mean? But I've complained about all different kinds of money coming out from government that shouldn't be coming out. But this is the first time that it come out in this way as employment.
Mm.
And I'm saying if there's a severance fund and there's a unemployment fund and let the people get what they're entitled to and let them move on. But to come to tell me that you paying
David, this is the silly season, so don't be surprised at these complaints you are getting on the program. But we have a lot to be thankful
for, Mr. Ellis,
2x3 country, says the writer. Am I referring to you?
Mr. Ellis, listen to me, right? Listen to me. 2 weeks ago, that same thing ran you in trouble, you know. You got written down here, you know, bitten by your own dog. I keep begging you and begging, do not read nothing into my phone call.
I want you to understand
there are
this.
People that can hide behind.
Listen to me.
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned, sitting on this program, I am bitten by all types of dogs, not necessarily my own, alone.
Mr. Ellis, it is when you're bitten by your own that you're
And there are bitten. Times, and there are times, as you well know, I also bite.
You got a better bite now than a bite. That's all I can tell you.
Oh, well, you test me.
You have been real team.
You test me. I just trying to make sure that I am a good boy from time to time, you know. You try to minimize the number of times that you got to complain, oh, you're too sharp, you're too harsh, You get rid of people off the air. You do this, you do the next. I try my best to be a good boy sometimes.
Anyhow, we can leave that there, Mr.
But when I got to deal with people like you, you test me. You but and Alvin, right. I don't. He can come next.
They don't make sense. Either, if you can't stand the heat, you keep out the kitchen.
I got this funny feeling they too when it's operate, when it's called from the same kitchen. Because I find it fascinating that one minute you call me, and soon as you put down, the next caller is the Alvin.
Well, you don't hand over the phone, so it can't be from the same place. Anyhow, some other things I want to look at here.
No. You think that you could talk all day? You know how many other people here want to talk? I can give you one more opportunity. What else do you want to talk about?
No, Miss Tony Moore.
You're kind of campaigning, though?
No, I'm not campaigning.
Let me make a judgment call on this one.
I would like to know, because she said that to get into Parliament, you need to be able to speak on behalf of the people. Now, I would like to know who she was speaking for when she said that she was always amendable to the 4.5% or 5%. Who she was speaking for then?
You can go up in St. George and ask her. I can't answer.
But no, you bet I will.
You
so
should
don't
go
think there's
that.
A problem.
All right.
You bet I will.
We got to go. Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Good morning. Good afternoon, Miss Ellis.
I tell you so.
No, I can't stop you off from setting
up. I tell you so.
Like, I have no control over the program. So
well. Look at this thing for me. Go along.
Mr. Ellis.
Talk.
You said that I just ran your station from my bedroom. And you know that's not true. Mr. Ellis.
You're trying.
I heard you just don't speak to Strickland Senator. And you better die next.
Yeah, well, that's how it operates.
But the impression you got that S. Strickland and I... in control station?
You try to be, all two of you.
Okay, let me get where
you... That's why I park company with you from time to time, because it is...
No, you just park company, then you want me to go after...
The Labour Party?
Who you're a part of.
Oh, is that
you
so?
Maybe hit up.
You and I park company when you know how it works. Whenever you come to sit down and tell me how to run the show and... radio station and stuff like
that.
Anyhow, what's on your mind today?
You can say they come to run the show now.
What's on your mind today? Let me hear you.
No, Mr. Ellis, have you ever entered an MRI room yet where the operation is going, where it's checked? You ever seen one? You ever entered one? For health purposes or just to visit?
No, I can't remember going any place for any MRI.
Okay. Well, I was fortunate to be test in America, and I was lucky here to work from foundation to finish on the one on 3rd Avenue. It's an expensive project. It ain't just that you could get an MRI machine and just put it in a room. I will let you, one of these days when you have time, make an appointment and go on 3rd Avenue and ask if you could get permission to get a visit.
So what are you saying?
It's important to know.
What are you saying?
That people will say, you should have this, you should have that at your hospital, because you need money. And let me tell you this, what I say, you need money. Between 2009 and 2011, I work at Queen Liz Hospital. And I can remember the entry to the A&E was collapsing. Unfortunate for us, we got the job fixing it, that don't have to prolong everything. And when I was barring up the area, I wanted to plug it to get current to use the screw gun. Nowhere in the hospital you could plug in a normal plug. Nowhere. I had to go to that place in River Road, I think it's TRI, I can't remember the name of it now, and buy a type of transformer that I could plug in there to connect the extension. I would also like you to take a drive coming from Drummond's Lane on Martindale's Road and look on top of the building. You see all that equipment out there? That was put on top there because the government that was so good before that is in power now couldn't even supply the hospital with current. A man called Donovan Innes did all of that. They had a section in there, which is the Lions section with the eye. That was just there laying down. What I'm trying to say to you is this. The last government that is so-called no, never do this and never do that. Under a gentleman that I would like the hospital to bring back. That's to James. There's so much in that 10 years for that hospital. From the cafeteria, right down there, dead. People say...
So you called to say this is justification for not having an MRI machine in
Juliet? No, I didn't say that. What I'm saying is you can't get everything.
You can't get everything.
What I'm saying is we might need one, but the one that I work on from scratch to finish costs real money. Right there, 3rd Avenue, Belvin. Go look at it. And I'm telling you this.
We pay real taxes over years, too.
Me?
We pay real taxes.
Listen to this. I don't understand what is going on in Barbados right now.
Why?
Because one time, have you had two bloaters at the Guado? It was news. Today, nothing is news. But I'm telling you this. I hear the gentleman from Yetzel, that work I have just now. A big critic before the last election. But now he won't be paying extra money at hospital to get services. This is what he would like now. But I'm sure that Stryker just missed. He said they took out 1% out of the 5% that they give the workers. But he forget the 1.5 that the employers have to pay.
This is the first time I have ever heard you effectively also defend the Barbados Labour Party administration.
I'm a truthful man all the way. It's just that you...
So you want to concede, you want to concede that on this day, the 12th day of October 2020, Alvin actually defended
the
Barbados Labour Party administration.
What caused defense? What did I say that is defense?
Well, basically you said that you can't get everything. And you justified it under the Dems, and by extension, you would justify the position under the Labour Party too, which, I mean, history was created today.
But you know, they have a gentleman who's called that I love to hear.
Who's that?
I used to tell him, oh, hello, all this sweet talk, you coming now? I'm waiting on the bitter side.
Oh, he can call soon too. He can call soon. And can come and say, I hope you had a wonderful day, Mr. Ellis. A wonderful weekend, Mr. Ellis.
One of your best callers.
All the best to you and your family. And then you can put some lit to your government.
One of the best callers on the station is that gentleman.
Well, you know who you like to hear. As long as they put lit to your government, you love to hear them.
Okay, but let me say
And when it comes to moderators, as long as they let you talk, for as long as you want to, you're a wonderful moderator. Great, fantastic.
Miss Ellis, can I say something? Or you want to do talking? Miss Ellis, the 1% that Highland spoke about, it was really 2.5% that went to the national insurance on its way to the hospital. No? And Mr. I don't want to call his name because I don't want to. I sure it's him, but I would say, told me that it put $60 million extra dollars in the hospital. You could understand that extra $60 million going in, that's the GM's control. So many problems we have in the hospital, and people talk about the MRI and this and that. The MRI is an expensive thing, but I have simple things.
How expensive is an MRI machine?
I don't know the cost, but I work my bill, I know it costs
my
money.
Oh my goodness, we tell you. You see how expensive it is, but you can't tell me
listen,
how much it costs.
You see where that.
But you're something else.
You see where the machine is.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we let you get a tour.
All right.
That whole building is all copper. Don't mind what you see in the front of you. That behind those walls.
I want to see any monument to Alvin. That's what I would call it. You tell me how much of a builder you were, and you know we've sat down and talked about those things in the past. So I am keen to see anything that you have built. Make sure that it isn't just talk, you know? This person says the hospital can't afford machines, but they can extend the Cubans contract that can give medications and language barriers or something else. You can't afford a machine, but then the person says They brought in the Ghanaians and praising them and paying them more money than us. Obviously, it sounds like a nurse, because they claim they have 11 years and more experience. Yet still, they can't care for any patient on their own. We have to be reaching them, I suspect they mean teaching them everything. This is down to brass tacks. You're on the air.